Open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at one of the prophecies that have come forward recently again. I keep studying these, and I'm going to remind you again, all of these also are at Dave's website. I didn't know it until recently. They probably said it before, but somehow I didn't click. But they're all available clear back through 2007 in PDF format, easy to download, easy to read. This one is so, to me, for us right now. And it has to do with everything that he's taught this year about higher thoughts and higher ways. You remember, those of you that were with me during that, what I call the hula hoop message, you know, how there really is a kingdom. I'm telling you, it almost sounds like science fiction. It almost sounds too good to be true. There is a kingdom that is available to us that the physics of that kingdom extend beyond the physics of our three-dimensional world. And you know how we went back to the Linelanders and then the Flatlanders, and then, see, we're Earthlanders. We have like, we're originally Earthlanders. And all of our understanding fits within this three-dimensional universe as we understand it. And so there are things that seem impossible to us. Well, to the Flatlander, things that we take for granted would be impossible to the Flatlander. And I know if you're hearing this and you haven't heard the message, Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways, you need to hear that one, because there's no way I can go back to that. Well, where we're going into revival, how many of you know we're going to be operating by the physics of the kingdom and not by the physics of this world? So Colossians, Paul was really talking about this even way back here in the first century. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What if we said it, seek the things that are of the kingdom? What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, seeking first the kingdom is seeking first for that realm that exists beyond this realm. It's where God lives. It's where Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. But get this, you are seated at the right hand of the Father in him. We are literally dual citizens, if you will. We're in our spirit, we're literally born of that realm. That's why we have a capacity now to understand the things of God from that realm, because they're spiritually discerned, not mentally discerned. Now, it doesn't mean your mind cannot be involved, but it's more like our mind is more to be like the laptop. A laptop is a good tool for me, but it's not supposed to run my life, okay? But it's a good tool. Well, our brain, our intellect is a good tool, but it's not supposed to overlord our spirit, okay? But seek ye first, seek those things which are above, or seek those things which are of that realm, of the kingdom, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Now, that word, it does mean affection, but normally when that word, that Greek word, and I didn't look it up, I'm sorry, but that Greek word, the mind, it's normally translated mind. But affection is not wrong either. See, it's who do you love? What do you love? Do you love this world? Is that what your life is about? Most people, even Christians, it's about your best life now. They're more interested in the things of this world than they are the things of that world. But Paul says, set your mind, and I think affection is good, set your affection on the things of that realm, on the things above, the things of the kingdom, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. Aren't you glad you came tonight? What he means is you're not an earthlander anymore. See, let's try and think with the revelation he's given us this year, and then we're going to look at this prophecy with that in mind too. For you are dead. In other words, let's say it this way. You're not an earthlander anymore. You're not limited to the three dimensions of this earth anymore. You're not limited to these physics. In the realm we're from, water can be turned to wine. And that is a creative miracle. I haven't done engineering in a long time, but I remember from the periodic table, water is H2O. There is no grape in water. That's a creative miracle. He added something that was not there. Got that? That's the realm that we're from. See? So he says, for you are dead, You're not an earthlander anymore. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Let me say that a different way. Everything Christ had available to him, you have available to you. That's called inheritance. That gets you thrown smack out of nearly every church I grew up in to even say something like that. But it's exactly the truth. He said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to take of mine and he's going to show it unto you. Why? Belongs to you. You do deserve it too, by the way. What do you mean I deserve it? Because he paid the price for it. He paid a terrible price for us to have access to all of these riches in heaven. And I've made up my mind. He's not going to pay that price in vain. If he paid the price to get these kids out of these children's hospitals, and bless God, we deserve to get them out based on the price he paid. Amen? A little fire. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Okay, in other words, you're going to find out. If we were to all go up on the Mount of Transfiguration today, and somehow he could unzip our flesh, and we could see our spirit like they saw his spirit, did you know you would glow just like he did? Why? You got the same life in you that he had. The same life. You are God's child. You are already a child of the living God. That's why he talks to you. You know, I love how Alan said it. Alan said it, and I thought it. In the early days, I was almost afraid to get into prayer line. You know why? Just like Alan said, I was afraid I'd manifest. I figured David know the truth, you know. Aha! Come out! I knew it. I knew I was full of... And it's because my flesh was so controlling me that I felt that way. But see, then what would happen when God would speak through Dave to me, it's like I'm his favorite. Like everything was great. Like, man, you know, I'm at the head of the class. Walk away, feel like a sheep eating dog. See? But God was talking to me, the real me, the part of me that would shine, the part of me that's created in his image. He's talking to his son, trying to get me to get a clue who I really am. And when that happens, only then can you really do verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members. And that's your body. That is your earth suit. In the same way, we have to put our earthlings in a space suit so they can function in space. God had to leave us in an earth suit so we can function on earth. He left us in an earth suit. That's really all it is. Now, it wants you to think you are it. You are no more it than an astronaut is his suit. And our job... My flesh is always wanting to tell me it's the boss. And I've got to remind it, you're just the suit. You don't tell me what to do. How does Lily say that? You are not, that's what she says to her brother. You are not the boss of me. That's what we got to do to our flesh. You are not the boss of me. You know. So mortify. All right. And then he gets into all that. Okay, that's a good introduction. Now, I want to get to this prophecy. This one is in the current year. This one came on October 10th. The title they put on it, it is the time of necessary equipping. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But what I really like, I would have used the last sentence. I am your reality. I am your reality. If you have those prophecies, I don't know if this is one that Tim handed out. And if you have one, let your neighbors look on. I'm going to read it anyway. So, but now when we read it this time, and when I don't know if Tim's already done this. I never did get quite caught up. We are not in competition. I don't even know what he said. We're all trying to bring out insights and flavors that we, based on our walk, okay? Now, when I was reading this one recently, it's like as I would read it, I would see scenes from that hula hoop message. And if you'll keep that in mind as we read this, then it'll help you. And I'll show you what I mean. Yes, sir. So let's go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear where I would teach that and I would bring the hula hoop. And we'll talk about the flatlander. A flatlander person is a person that only knows two dimensions. In their universe, there is only length and width. There is no height. There is no depth. And they can, in their universe, they're free to wander, walk, travel on a plane like a sheet of paper. And they can go any direction, and there's no problem with that. until they come to like that hula hoop. And then so I'd lay that hula hoop down, and now it's a circle, and they're wanting to get to the center of the circle. But to them, in that dimension, that hula hoop is an impenetrable barrier. They can only go left or right. They can't step up. They have no concept. There is nothing in their universe that would even allow them to think. You know, it reminds me of that verse, God's able to do above all that we can ask or think. See, in their universe, they can't even think of the concept of going over that thing or going under that thing. All they can do is go around and around. So in their universe, and it would not be wrong to say, it is impossible. And according to the physics of their world, it would be. Now, if somehow we were able to observe that, the poor little flatlander creature, but we're from this realm, the three-dimensional people, earthlanders, we would just look at that and say, boy, I mean, can't they get a clue? We might say to them, if they could hear us, you know, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What you consider to be impossible is easy as pie to me. You know, would you allow me to help you? No, there is no God. Am I preaching okay? You understand what I'm getting at? No, this is all there is. There isn't anything beyond what I know. So they would continue in their folly. But if we could manifest in that realm, an earthlander, a three-dimensional person, what would we do? Well, you just pick them up, set them over the hula hoop, set them down. Now, in their realm, when that happened, they would instantly disappear from sight from everybody who lives there. It would be like, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. Well, when you lifted him up, in that universe, there is no up. They disappeared for all everybody there. When they reappeared, you set them down, they reappear. Reminds me of a verse, and Philip was found at Azotus. See, this, and doesn't it make sense? It explains so much in the Bible, see? So as we read this, understand we have had a visitor from that realm. His name is Jesus. He came to show us what is possible if we'll ever learn to function according to the physics of that realm. How did Paul put it? That realm which is above, where Christ is. Set our affection there. Learn how to function from there so that we can bring the kingdom here. Amen? All right. Let's just say that this visitor has come, and instead of me teaching you here tonight, Jesus is here teaching you. And he says, I've come to teach you how to function as a child of God and function on planet Earth according to the principles of the kingdom. How many want to attend that class? Amen. Me too. Let's go pray in tongues. That's how you attend it, by the way. But let's just say now, he might have an introduction, something like this. Or let's say, instead of saying Jesus, the Holy Spirit, okay, which same thing. He doesn't teach anything of his own. Everything he teaches is according to the mind of Christ. So opening, I remember in engineering school, when I first attended, God, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, 1966, freshman class, Oklahoma State University. If I remember right, there were 5,000 of us freshman students. And they said, everybody stand up. You know, all right, look to the person, greet the person on your left. How you doing? Greet the person on your right. Hey, how you doing? I'm Gary. Hey, how you doing? He says, this time next year, two out of three of you will not be here. And we go, what? Of course, everybody's thinking it's the two next to them. You know, it's right, about two-thirds. We lost two-thirds first year. No discipline. I am not the smartest person that was there. I'm not there. I didn't survive because I'm smart. I survived because I have no quitting sense. I'll study harder and work harder, see? All right? Anyway. I remember that orientation class, though, and that very first one. He could have said something like this. Life, as you have known it, is at the beginning of the end. Well, we're coming to the end of this year. This is the year you sell out to him. And this end comes quickly as you follow me. I could add right there, when the disciples started following Jesus, we're talking about the fishermen especially. How about when they saw the water turn into wine? How many of you know that you don't go back from that? How do you unknow that? How do you go, my life as I have known it is over. This is a whole new realm. This, what? Water turned into wine, what? When the blind eyes open. When on and on and on, all the miracles. Okay. So he said, this end comes quickly as you follow me. Where we go, I have given you glimpses of. How many have had glimpses? When Dave does those, they're talking about revival, can't you just see the parking lot full of the ambulances and see the people come? We've all had glimpses. I've had dreams where I'd lay my hands on children and they see and that type of thing. That's good. He said, I have given you glimpses of it, but to glimpse and to live it are entirely different things. The glimpses are part of your preparation. And these glimpses are changing into reality in your thinking. Now get this. Intensity. Intensity is required to turn glimpses into reality. Say the word intensity.
Intensity.
See, when I think of the word intensity, if something's intense, it's strong. It's powerful. It's forceful. It's not laying around waiting for something to happen. Okay? Said, this is your laser focus as you leave all behind and sell out to me. We are leaving your past behind. Just a minute. I personally have to worship God right there. Thank you, God. We're leaving Gary's past behind. What past? I have no past. Glory to God. All that's under the blood. Hallelujah. We're leaving your past. And also, not only that, we're leaving your past understanding of what is possible behind. See how it changes your thinking? You're in this class, this kingdom class. He's going to teach you now how to function by the kingdom. He says, everything you've known up until now, we're putting that all behind you. Whew. The past way of thinking, as you learn more about living in me. Everything that is not part of life in me is being removed, destroyed, and forsaken as your fellowship with me increases. Necessity. Live by necessity. Do what is necessary, but do it in me. Your family, your friends, your job, your schooling. The necessities of life are part of your equipping and training. You will be learning a new focus in me in these things. Now, in plain English, he's saying, do not quit your job to live by faith. Okay? It's not okay to, I'm just going to go pray at the prayer center and live on the mountaintop. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to go to school anymore. Now, see, from my point of view, where I live now, I can't abandon my grandchildren. I can't, you know, my lily cakes needs to go to the park. And Jesus is pleased when I take my lily cakes to the park. Don't tell me he's not. But what he's saying is, that's not where our focus is anymore. A lot of people, that's their whole life. No, these are things that need to be done, and we need to do them correctly. But understand, that's not where our laser focus is. These are things that we do, but they are necessary. But we do them in him. He has more to say about that as we go on here. They are an essential part of your equipping, and I am increasing my life in you in these things. Laser focus on me in your daily living, and set aside time for just you and me, where I can draw you into me and bring change upon change and equipping. I think, now this is when I say I think, I mean this is what I think. I think Jesus had such a relationship with the Father that they enjoyed everything together. I don't think Jesus had this mindset of, okay, I'm going to go do my life now. Oh, and then I'm going to come back and worship you, Father. I think it was constant fellowship. And they talk about Smith Wigglesworth that way. Like he pretty well lived in that constant fellowship. If one man can do it, every man can do it. Amen. Okay. So he says, be filled with me. Here it is again. I am your reality. Whew. See, again, Let me stop right there. Here's this being from another realm. He's come to us earthlanders. We have our own hula hoop situations. They're called cancer. They're called poverty, terminal situations of all kinds, Parkinson's, things that there are no, all the faces on this box, cerebral palsy, little Victoria born without a fully formed brain. Things that even with modern medical science, which almost is probably like a, anyway, to God is like what we call modern, he goes primitive, you know. But we have, that's our impossible hula hoops. And according to our physics, it is pretty much, you know. But he says, I am your reality. He has come from this other realm where none of those things are hard at all. It's no harder for God than that guy lifting the fella up over the hula hoop. Cancer is nothing to our God. Are you kidding me? A child needing a brain is nothing. God makes them. You know, we have got to enter that realm. So he's trying to teach us how to function in that realm. We're in the freshman orientation class of Kingdom Living 101. You may call that this, Kingdom Living 101. How's that? That'd be okay, right? So he says, I am, and as you see more and more of me, you see more and more of your reality. Your life in me is your reality in all things. My God. That sentence, when you really get a, when you start comprehending what he's saying there, you, your life in me, what is that? That's your born again spirit. That is your life in me. When that happened, your whole reality changed. You're not the same person. You're not of the same kingdom. You're not of the world. What was impossible 1 minute before is no longer impossible now. Your life in me is your reality in all things. We're not going to go there, but 1 Corinthians 2, this is exactly what Paul said. He said, now that you've been born again, you received not the spirit of the world, that's what you got from Adam. Now you've received the spirit, little s, which is of God. Why? That you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. These are the things which the Holy Spirit teaches, not which man's wisdom teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. God had to give you a teacher from that realm to even teach us how to function according to the reality of who we really are. And that was a really good sentence right there. I want to hear that one again myself. I don't know if I could say it again, but it was good. That's who you really are. That's what he's saying. Your life in me is your reality in all things. Times, he meant, I get, times in my presence are full of life and vitality and reality. Times in my presence are your strength and equipping. Does that remind you of a verse? Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Man, fellowship with him. Yes. Times in my presence are your refreshing. Times in my presence, and it's not just tongues. He's talking about worship. He's talking about times in his presence are essential and a necessary part of your equipping. Take the times to pull aside and give yourself to me, and I will give you much of me. Boy, now, truth. My words are life, and they are truth, and they are becoming a living part of you. And when he says truth, we know in John 17 he defined for all time what truth is. Father, thy word is truth. This is your foundation. But I'll tell you again now, and there's much truth that Gary lives by based on the written word of God. But I've already done my homework. I have searched this thing. I cannot find the book of Gary for the life of me. I want to be 68 in next month in January. And I'd love if there was a book of Gary and I could turn to chapter 68. Yeah, thou shalt do this and that and Gary shall whatever. And, you know, I can't find the book of Gary. Now, I can find a lot of foundational truth for Gary. But when it comes to the book of Gary, it's not in the written word. It's in the mind of Christ. How do you get that? fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Fellowship with Him, see? So when He says, truth, my words are life. Yes, sir. Previews. My words are life. Let me finish reading that sentence there. Truth, my words are life, and they are truth, and they are becoming a living part of you. Take my truth and feed upon it until it becomes a part of you, until my words are reality to you. My words are life, truth, and reality to you. Feed upon my words of life to you. They are essential and necessary in all you do. There is no me and you without my words of life to you. Now, He is not just talking about the written word. The written word of God is truth. One of the things we're going to get to here, these are some of those words that I told you about that He's going to have me. Here's one. There's a preview. The title I put on this one, back in 1999, this word was not through me, by the way, this one I'm reading. This came October 10th, 2014. He said to me in July of 1999, at the title I put on it, His words are my life. He says, hear not my words in vain, for they are life unto you. My words are spirit, and they are life. They set the course of direction for your life to flow with my mind, says the Lord. Set every word in stone upon your heart and upon your mind, that they can never be removed by your enemy. For example, for Gary, the time he told me, you're not a pastor, the way he said it was, he has not called you to pastor, and he never will. What part of that is hard to understand? See, he has to get it down simple for Gary. You know, come over into Macedonia. I think I would get that. He's not called you to pastor. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't step in, like, you know, and fill in. But he's not called Gary to go pastor, you know, a little church in the dale somewhere, a little church in the valley, and pastor a church. That's not my calling, see? And I have, and I've been offered churches. I've been offered whole churches. Just come. You know, we'll give you the building and everything, you know? And I'm, His words. I can't do that. Now, if I did, he would bless it all that he could. It's not like, you know, you can't do anything. You can't offer a cup of cold water and lose your reward. But I don't want to be living way out on the edge of His permissive will somewhere, pastoring a church, if He never called me to pastor in the first place. See? So, my words are your life. Set every word as in stone. Now, Tim, if he was reading this right now, he would use the word blueprint. See? The written word is for all of us. Thank God it's like our foundation. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, this is the foundation. The words that we have from the prophets and the apostles and Peter and James and Paul and John and all that we have here. That's our foundation, see? But then you need a blueprint for your own life. A building is more than just a foundation. You need a blueprint for your part of it, see? Well, that's where the words that He speaks to you, whether it comes directly in your times of fellowship, like we're talking now about distinguishing God's voice, or He might send a prophet. I know everybody always wants that. Once that happens to you, you might not want it again. The two prophets I've known in my life, they have no people skills at all. None. They have zero fruit of the Spirit that I can see. I mean, what I mean by that is this. They come. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord. Do this, do that, or die. Let's go get coffee. And I'm, you know, usually I have 1,000 questions. And in the early days, I kept trying to get them to tell me more. And it finally got across to my lightning quick mind. He can't tell me more because He doesn't know anymore. See, there's no point. He doesn't know anymore. A role of a prophet is to hear precisely and then speak precisely what God said, not adding to, not taking away. It's not His job to elaborate. He would just be elaborating out of His own mind anyway. If you want elaboration, there is somebody you can go to. His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Let me finish this one here. It's pretty short. So He says, my words are your life. My direction is your life, your provision, your anointings, your giftings, everything that is your inheritance is on the path of the direction that I set for you, says the Lord. I remember that same day when he told me he has not called you to pastor and he never will. Well, what's the next question? I was sharp enough to ask the right question. What has he called me to do? He says, you are a teacher in the body of Christ. He said, that is where your anointing is and that is where your provision is. There it is. Okay? I want to read this sentence again. My direction is your life, your provision, your anointings, your giftings. Everything that is your inheritance is on the path of direction that I set for you, says the Lord. Heed my words. Regard them as most precious. Treasure them above all things, for they are your life. Is that good or what? Well, that's your blueprint. So he's talking about the foundation, again, the apostles and the prophets that were built upon the foundation of the Word of God. But then in addition to that, you need your own individual blueprint. What has God called you to do? All right. I understood. Okay, next paragraph. It is the time of necessary equipping. That which is not needful is being weaned, cut off, and removed from you. It's not sin to watch football. But for somebody who's selling out, to sit there on a Saturday from 11 in the morning till about 11 or 12 at night, and only get up to get more coffee and use the bathroom, you know, that's not okay. That's not okay where we're going. See, where we're going, now listen, when real revival breaks out and the parking lot out here where the cars and the ambulances are here as far as the eye can see, you think church is going to be over by noon so we can get the first in line at the buffet? You all are going to be praying and laying hands on and we'll just be, Pastor, do you have a little cot somewhere in the corner where I can catch 30 minutes sleep? Our life is over then. That's what he's talking about here, see. And thank God. Yeah. Thank God for it. All right. So that which is not... Has anyone else but me noticed the weaning? You know, he's still letting me watch football, but it's not like that. I can't do that anymore, you know. So that which is not needful is being weaned, cut off, and removed from you. I am preparing an army equipped with all... with only that which is necessary. Now, I laugh because I saw a little mini vision one time. Now, this is probably just for me, not you. He's talking about an army situation here, right? You know, I've watched enough World War II movies. You know something I did not see? Those guys, you know, they're going to war, right? And they've already carrying a lot of stuff. A lot of them have packs, and they got a rifle, and they got their gun, and they got what the needful things. But in this little vision, I saw like me in there. Of course, I want to bring my color TV. And I'm dragging a big soft mattress behind me. and I got a big air conditioner on my left, you know, a big air conditioner on my left shoulder. And you better have like a mile of extension cords, I guess, if you're going to run all that stuff, you know. That's what he's talking about here. I am preparing an army equipped with only that which is necessary. Now, I'm going to see. Let me remember this. Yes, sir. Now, this, and I probably got this wrong, and somebody who loves me, please correct me later with a nice letter or something. It was either Smith Wigglesworth, it might have been Lester Summerall, one of those. But one time when they were asking the Lord for, they needed more stuff, you know. I need this, I need equipment, I need this and I need that. And in the course of hearing that, the Lord says, no, you don't need a lot of equipment. You are my equipment. Boy, you are my equipment. Isn't it powerful? I've got to, whoever remembers where that was, that's in one of those books that I've, you know, one of the heroes. Isn't that powerful? That is so powerful. He said, no, you are my equipment. Now, it's not wrong. I thank God for anything we can use. I'm glad I have a recorder where I can capture these words, and I'm glad that I have this little iPad thingy I'm getting more used to. But when it really comes down, right down to it, you know what he needs? He needs us. We are the equipment. He's trying to, you know, I don't need to be bringing my feather bed in my boat, you know, or whatever, you know. Can you imagine? I am preparing an army equipped with only that which is necessary. We cannot take non-essential things with us on this path of reality of life in me. It is a time of deciding and dividing. And your fellowship with me will bring increase in this. You will be deciding and choosing, and you will be drawing dividing lines in your life as you continue to focus, now notice, intently on me. Laser focus. Intensity, he said. It is the year of selling out to me. And then look what he says here at the end. My pleasure abounds at what I see in your heart and in your understanding. Your choices have pleased me. Rest assured, you are rapidly... I want to stop and worship right there. You are rapidly approaching days in me of truly great and mighty things. These days will come quickly, though that is not how it has seemed. And you will say, how hard it seemed then, but I now see it was not as hard as it seemed. Live in me. I am your reality. Does that not describe right where we are?
Yeah.
Right where we are. Now let me read it again. Now the verses, this is what I prefaced this with. Paul said it this way, Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, how many are born again? Risen with Christ, amen. Then seek those things which are above. Let's say it another way. Seek those things of the kingdom, that realm where we're really from. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and we know that you're also sitting there in him. You're just as much a citizen of that world as he is. That'll get you thrown out. Set your affection, your mind, and your desire. How's that? Your mind coupled with your desire, your affection, on things above, on the things of the kingdom. Jesus said it, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, the things of this world, they'll just be added to you. Amen? So set your affection on that realm. That's what he's calling us to in this season. And we're in like Kingdom Living 101. He's like, your world, I want to just read it all again, but I'm not going to. How did he start it off? It so reminds me of that freshman class in engineering. You know, it's a great revelation when you go to college. You know one of the first revelations you find out? They don't care if you fail. You're on your own. They don't care. It's not like when he's home with mama. Did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? Better do your homework, boy. You do your homework. They don't care. Yeah, they already got your tuition money. Well, it's not their job. It's grow-up time. See? And this, the way this starts, just reminds me so much of that freshman 101 engineering class. Life as you have known it is at the beginning of the end. And this end comes quickly as you follow me. He's reminding me again of the 4-minute mile. When it got so bad, everybody kept trying. See, I kept trying to break that 4-minute mile. Nobody could break it. It was like this impossible barrier until somebody broke it. And then it's amazing. One guy broke it, then another guy broke it, then another guy broke it. Everybody was breaking it. That's the way it's going to be with revival. I mean, it's going to spread. He's already shown me. It's going to be quick. You can't go back. See, once you've tasted that fruit, you really can't go back. You know, something happens to you. You can't go back after that. And it's going to spread quick. I am really looking forward to this next year. Now, we've got a month. You're still selling out time. Hey, you think God can't do a lot in a month? Let me tell you what now. So I would really recommend this prophecy to you. It's the one at Dave's website. They have all of the prophecies. That this one is this year, 2014, October 10th. And it's called It Is the Time of Necessary Equipping. Okay. That's the... Isn't that good stuff? Man, I'm excited about what's coming. And I'm in that weaning process. What else is he weaning you from? Nunya. Well, I'll talk to you about that later. All right, we're going to go ahead and do the confessions now.